Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and we're joined by Sharla, not in Japan. How you doing?
Sharla in England. Good. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back. Pete Donaldson's away on holiday. For the fifth time in the last 10 minutes. He's having a whale of a time somewhere. He's earned it, though. He's earned it. And I've pulled you in at the last minute.
But yay.
Not only that, though, it's finally time to return to Japan after 4, 5, 6 weeks on the road.
More than that, I think. It's been a really long trip, but it's been good. Yeah, it's been a really good time here in England. The weather hasn't been the best. But we've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a journey that took us from Victoria in Canada to Los Angeles and London and Lake District and everywhere in between. But I'm really excited to get back to Japan. I'm sick of England now.
Do you miss the cats?
I miss marginally as much as one can miss a creature that wakes you up every morning. I miss Japan in general. About the cats, but I just want to get back to doing things. I've been like losing my mind here because
you've been writing a book though this whole time.
Well, I think in this whole 6 weeks I've had 3 days off that I could class as a holiday because the entire time I've been writing the Abroad in Japan book.
You guys are going to buy the book, right?
Please buy the book. If no one buys the book, I'm going to be really upset.
I'll buy the book.
Very good. You're going to buy 10,000 copies, right?
No, definitely not.
But this is one of those late night podcast sessions because tomorrow we fly to Japan. 14 hours.
Yay.
14
with
hours.
With a fresh tattoo on my back.
Yeah, how'd the tattoo go in London?
Horrible. It's a fucking nightmare.
Why did you want to get... So Sharla just got a tattoo.
Yeah.
It took how long?
22 hours.
That's longer than the flight back to Tokyo.
It was horrible.
Why did you want a tattoo? Especially one as painful as that.
I don't know. I just really decided I want some snakes on my bum.
Okay.
So I got them.
Why snakes? Is it some sort of...
No, like, stop asking me if it means something. If one more person
Adam
asks
Eve.
Me what the snakes mean, I just think they look cool. That's it.
Is it like the tree of knowledge?
No.
And the snake
no, shut up. It's just some snakes that look cool.
What kind of snake is it?
Cobras.
A cobra. Wow.
Yeah.
And there's no meaning?
No.
Very good. I mean, they are amazing. They do look cool. And I'm still on the edge of... on the cusp of potentially getting a tattoo myself
one day.
You're
going to get a snake
I'm going to
on
get,
your butt?
I'm not going to get
gonna
a
match?
No. This is a crap idea. It'll be like some sort of farmyard animal.
How many books do you have to sell to agree to get snakes on your butt?
Like 100,000. And that ain't going to happen.
Let's make it happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I want to get something really rubbish.
God. Like what?
Just, and then buy like a farmyard animal.
A farmyard animal.
I want to get a goat.
Oh my
on
god!
My arm. And then people be like, "What is
what
that?
What does it mean, Chris?
What's, I'll be like,
what's the deep meaning behind the goat?
That's between me and the goat."
Let's moving on.
Ryotaro's got a tattoo though.
Is it a goat?
It's a dolphin.
I did not see that coming. Are you serious?
Yeah.
He has a dolphin tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he made me, he makes me hide it in every fucking video.
Well,
we
I
do.
Would too if I had a dolphin tattoo.
Well, we've shot videos in hot springs and whatnot, and he's like, "Oh, yeah. Can you hide the dolphin?" And I'm like, why?
Is it because they don't have a good rep in Japan?
What, dolphin? No, it's because...
Or is it because it's a dolphin?
No, it's because it looks bad for his clients that he works with. Yeah, he doesn't want his clients knowing or seeing that he has a fucking tattoo.
My agency was worried about that.
Really?
In the past. Not my current one.
Tokyo Creative. No, yeah. No. The iron fist of Tokyo Creative.
I used to be with a Japanese agency, and they were a bit worried about me showing my tattoos in videos. I didn't really listen to them. Because I just thought it was so stupid. I'm a foreigner, you know. You can't really expect me to act like Japanese do for something like that, you know.
I mean,
thought that was a bit silly.
It's also outdated. We haven't really talked about tattoos on the podcast in a while, just because like 9 times out of 10, the questions we faced in the first 3 years of doing this were tattoo-related questions.
Really?
And then we vowed... Pete and I were in a room one day and we were like, let's never cover tattoos again.
Yeah.
So we're so sick of it. But, you know, I understand it's a real fear. What's incredible is just, I didn't realise how many people have tattoos. We're talking, I don't know the numbers, I think it's like 50% of the population, maybe slightly less, have tattoos.
The population of what?
The world.
The world.
Planet,
no.
Planet Western
really?
Civilization. I mean, I didn't realise my sister had tattoos, a tattoo.
I knew that.
And, you know, all my friends
have tattoos. Yeah, actually, if you think about it.
You know, that they have, and I didn't realise it, so I feel left out. Just me and Natsuki. Natsuki and I, even Ryotaro's got one.
Natsuki doesn't have a tattoo.
Exactly.
He's the kind of person you would assume to have a tattoo. Out of him and Ryotaro, you wouldn't think Ryotaro would have one. It is a dolphin, but it's still a tattoo.
It's a good point, actually. If you were to take 100 people and be like, who do you think has a tattoo out of Natsuki and Ryotaro? I think probably 95% of people would say Natsuki.
Does Natsuki not like tattoos?
I don't know.
He's kind of traditionally Japanese in lots of ways.
Yeah, he likes to allude to being some sort of rock star, but he's very much Japanese in many other ways. But anyway, on with the story of the day.
What
a story
do we have?
From Pascal from Switzerland, who says, good morning, U-turn Pete and Scenic Road Chris. In September 2022, my wife and I visited Japan for the first time in 3 years. Thanks to a family visa, we got to Japan just a few weeks before the country opened up for tourists.
Oh,
so,
cool.
After 2 weeks of family and friends, we decided to take some time off to see Kyushu before the return of tourists. After enjoying the volcano at Aso National Park,
yay.
I nearly read that out as ASO National Park, we did a day trip from Aso to Takachiho Gorge. I've just been to Takachiho Gorge, actually, for a wacky weekend coming out soon.
You don't think I've been there?
It's a gorge.
Is it a good gorge?
It's gorgeous. Upon arriving in Takachiho, we hear a police car beside us telling us to stop on the nearby parking lot.
Oh, no.
After an initial shock, it turned out we just missed a bad-placed stop sign after the highway exit. Thankfully, being a foreigner, pretending to have no Japanese skills and with a foreign driving license, the police let us go with a warning.
Huh.
But not before he scolded my wife for not translating "tomare," stop, to me.
Oh, his wife's Japanese.
Did Pascal say that?
Can you imagine if, like, the wife has to translate every Japanese sign they see as they're driving down the street? Like,
that would suck.
Bit ridiculous.
Once we stopped at the nearby Takachiho Shrine, we had a great view of the road above. Just as we left the car, we saw the same policeman taking out the next car, missing the stop sign. This time a Japanese driver, who most likely had to pay the fine. I for sure learned my lesson and stopped at every sign from Takachiho until arriving back at the car rental place at Fukuoka a few days later. Chris, did you ever encounter any situation like this where pretending to not be able to speak Japanese saved you from a fine because it was too troublesome for the police? Kind regards, Pascal from Switzerland.
Well, funnily enough, we came across this exact situation and Chris pretended to speak Japanese but actually not understand what the cops were saying.
Yeah.
And what happened?
This was
recently,
about a week before we left Japan for the trip.
Yeah.
We're doing a project in Ibaraki Prefecture just north of Tokyo, and I came to a T junction, and it was in the countryside, and I could see both left and right down the road for a considerable distance, and I didn't stop as long as I should have. I sort of came out to the T junction, and I pulled out quickly without coming to a full stop. You know, I slowed down to check. but I didn't come to a full stop. Seconds later, a police car literally comes out of a bush.
Yeah.
Fucking from nowhere. Magic,
it's
secret,
where
invisible
was he?
Car.
Yeah.
And they pull me over and I got a fine. And this is a thing that happens in the countryside.
You gotta explain the best part of the story. When the cop came up to ask you what happened.
I assaulted him. I said, this isn't not on my watch. And I fought them off and I got into a tussle. Now, what happened is the police officer said, what do you say?
He came up and in Japanese, he was like, did you see the stop sign and just decide to ignore it and not stop? Or did you miss it and like realize too late? And then when you realized it was there, then you stopped as soon as you could. And Chris is like, yeah, I saw it and I just ignored it.
Yeah, I misheard it, basically. That's not an easy, like, that is not an easy sentence to understand, the way you phrased it, right?
It was easier in Japanese.
Yeah. Well, I did, but basically it was the second one.
He was so disappointed.
It was funny because I did see the police car and I hit the brake because I came to a complete stop, but it was too late. Yeah. But they do that in the countryside. The police have nothing better to do.
Yeah. They have a quota to reach.
And they do have a quota. Like, I remember that one time Pete Donaldson was in a car with me and I got pulled over for speeding 3 or 4 kilometres per hour over the speed limit.
Yeah.
And they were just fucking everyone who were coming down this road, basically. So, be careful in the countryside. There are a lot of police that will call you out and always come to a complete stop when you see the stop sign. Although none of you will be able to read it unless you speak.
Or at least lie about it when they come and interview about you about it afterwards.
Yeah, you'll know, though, there'll be a big kanji character that looks like the letter H.
It looks like a...
Looks like the letter
H. It looks
H.
like an intersection, kind
of. It looks like the letters L and H spelt next to each other,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Don't worry about it, you'll be fine. Just do what Pascal did and pretend to not speak Japanese. Story of the week, or the news of the week, apartments with no bath or shower rising in popularity among young Tokyoites. Tokyoites, is that a word? That's a hard word to say.
I don't like it.
When looking for an apartment in Japan, you can save a lot of money on rent if there's some amenity or nicety you're willing to do without. Mm. Choosing an above-average ground-level unit in a building with no elevator, for example, or an apartment with just a basic toilet can easily knock 10,000 yen or more off your monthly housing expenses. And according to Japan's TV Asahi News, some young Japanese people are going even further than that and looking for apartments without a bathtub or shower.
What do they do?
That's a very good question.
Go to the sento, I guess.
They roll around in the river, find a puddle and get some soap. No, the financial appeal is significant, though. Apparently, TV Asahi spoke with a 20-year-old guy living in a bath and showerless studio apartment in central Tokyo, 10 minutes from downtown, paying just 32,000 yen, $245 a month, which is...
Wow.
A joke price, that's nothing. But what do they do?
I hate the inconvenience of having to go out to a public bath every time you want to shower. That's just annoying.
Well, it says, the article sort of says that, as you were correct, it's not an obstacle in Japan because there are public bathhouses in Japanese towns. They're not as common as they used to be, but, you know, in a city with as many people as Tokyo, sento, public baths, haven't completely disappeared. And there's some good websites, you can just look them up, like Tokyo Sento Fudosan. This website specializes in helping renters find no bath apartments, actually, that were within a short distance of a public bath.
But how much are these people paying to go into the public bath each time? How often are they taking a shower? You'd think it would add up to the point where it's like barely worth it.
I don't know either. That is, I mean, a public bathhouse costs somewhere between 300 to 500 yen to go in. So
that cheap, 300.
If you're going in,
I think it's somewhere closer to 5 to 7.
Well, if it's $5 a day and you go, you know, 15 times a month.
So showering every other day.
Every other day.
It's a bit gross, especially in the summer in Japan.
But then
shower twice a day in the summer.
I mean, this is, it'd be $150 potentially if you showered every
day. So how much cheaper are these apartments?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. I feel like it's pretty much break even.
But apparently it's not just like economic situation that's led to this. It's also people like the retro atmosphere of having a no bath.
Going to the
having a no bath apartment.
Because it used to be like that in the old days.
Common 2 or 3 generations back. And
popular with the older generation.
Yeah, there's something cool about, you know, getting some soap and shampoos and towels, sticking them in a basket and heading into a
Cento. Cento are nice. Yeah, they are pretty cool. I do like the atmosphere at Cento with the cool, like, Fuji tile background.
Yeah, yeah. I've only done a video in one. I've done a video in every onsen in Japan. But I've only ever shot in a Cento once, and it was Kagoshima. Do you remember the last day of Journey Across Japan?
Oh my God. I went to a Cento. Tokyo Creative made me film a Cento video, and there was a spider bigger than my hand inside the Cento. But it was a weird, like, scraggly spider. Daddy long legs, maybe.
A scraggly
I don't think
spider.
It was an actual spider. It was so big. You have to watch the video. It's so weird. I didn't know things like that existed. Ever since then, I haven't been back in a Cento. That was my second time. Second and last time in a Cento.
Scraggly spider Cento.
Yeah. But if you can find a nice Cento that's cleaned, probably in the city, that was way out in the countryside.
Mm.
In Tokyo, the Cento are really nice. Good experience, really.
Oh, well, the one I went to in Kagoshima was really damn cool.
Mm.
And they very kindly let me film in the whole thing.
Wow.
And
That's rare.
If you look at the video, 24 hours in Kagoshima, guys, you can check that out. And I think that I did have Mount Fuji artwork on the wall. And
it always does. That's
there were like people coming in. They were like, it's extremely rare to be able to film in one of those places when they're open. And the woman was just like, yeah, go for it.
Wow.
And there was a... often public bathhouses and onsen have a massage chair. And you could sit in there afterwards and
relax.
That's
the best part.
It is the best part. But this one was a manual massage chair.
Oh, it looked like a torture device.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really retro.
To turn the handle as you were sitting in it.
It's like the opposite of a massage. You're
like
using your muscles.
The sort of thing Henry VIII used to fuck over his enemies. It was kind of good. I enjoyed that. And it was a really nice atmosphere.
Kinda good.
Love to go back to Kagoshima and... dip my toes in that place. But Cento, it's not actually onsen water, is it?
No.
It's often just public
bath water.
Public tap water.
Regular water, heated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's
it's a cool
difference,
atmosphere.
I guess.
I've never been to one in Tokyo, but...
I have. They're really nice.
You went to one in Asakusa.
I made a video about them. I toured around a couple different Cento. I was wearing a beige bathing suit.
Mm.
And there was like a reflection of me in the mirror. And the comments just went, like, wild. They were like, we can see your naked body. You need to cut this out. I got so many private messages. I was like, no, guys, I'm wearing, like, a light pink, like, beige bathing suit. I'm not naked. Oh, it was like a whole drama.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Anyways, the Cento was nice.
They are cool. If you can find one, definitely try one out, guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what an interesting situation. I don't know if it's dire or cool or endearing. I don't know. I know the economic situation in Japan isn't overly great. I was looking at, I think real wage growth has been worse than the UK in Japan over the last 2 decades, ever since
worse
the bubble burst.
Than the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, everybody knows that.
Well, the UK's not done so well the last decade. But
well, Japan is just horrendous.
Yeah,
it's
not good. Yeah. I need to work that out. But anyway, we'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Well, we kick off with Beth from England, who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete," who's not here, "after your very scary listener story of the couple who was sadly drugged and scammed and your video recently on how much you don't recommend hostess bars. I wondered, how easy is it to identify and therefore avoid a hostess bar? Do I look out for certain kanji, or is it much more obvious than that? Also, could you explain what girls' bars are? Many thanks. Beth from England."
I feel like you're the specialist in this area.
Am I?
I don't know anything about hostess bars.
Have you ever been to one?
I have. My ex-boyfriend's dad took me to one.
Excellent. Bonding.
It was so awkward.
Bonding experience.
I've been, yeah, just that one time.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Why did you tell, what happened there?
It was just so, I was really annoyed. It was me and my boyfriend of the time and his dad.
Right.
And the three of us went into the hostess bar and we sat down and the girls sat between us. So we each had like a girl beside us. But she like sat between me and my boyfriend and was just like flirting with my boyfriend the whole time and feeding him and pouring him drinks. And it was just really horrible. And they just kind of ignored me because I was the weird girl there. Because it's normally just guys at the hostess bar, right?
Yeah,
probably don't know how to address girls, really. So they just ignored me and I sat there while she flirted with my boyfriend.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
That's very weird. Jesus Christ. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily avoid a hostess bar. It's an experience. With the drugging and the scamming,
that's more like certain ones, right? Certain areas of Japan that are more dangerous.
I mean, I would say watch the video I made on that. Beth already has, clearly, but that's only Shinjuku and bits of Roppongi that you have to worry about there, where there'll be street touts. He'll be like, "Do you want a free drink?" You'll go, "Yeah."
Yeah, so they'll don't get lured into a bar. I think that's the key, is to don't follow people into a place like they're trying to lure you from the street. Never go with those people. But if you find a hostess bar yourself and walk in, it's probably not the type where you're going to get badly scammed.
But there isn't a certain kanji or anything like that. You know, you'll know a hostess club when you see one. It'll be quite obvious with the name. It'll be like hostess, it'll be like Club Dream Happy Twat, and it'll be like stupid fucking name like Dream Buttercup or Wonder Bar. And there was one called Wonder Bar in Sendai. And so you'll know, right, from that. And then you'll hear laughter and crappy karaoke singing.
Yeah.
You'll go in.
It's very different from a regular just bar.
Well, yeah, you open the door and, you know,
you'll see all these sexy girls.
Sexy girls.
Yeah, it'll feel very different. And there'll be lots of seating, because at a hostess bar, you all sit at like a little bench seating thingy.
Yeah, you have a sort of table you sit around in a circle. We should go to one.
No.
It'll be fun.
I've been once. It'll be horrible. She'll flirt with you and ignore me.
Be a great video. We've got one here from Taz. Do you want to read this out?
Your big job. Don't have my glasses on.
Brilliant. Oh, yeah.
My name is Taz from totally warm and sunny Toronto, Canada. Woo! I'm a serving member of the Canadian military, and here at home, the public has very little awareness of our existence and activities. My question to you is, how do Japanese people view their own military, the Japanese Self-Defense Force? Were there any times where you have seen the Japanese military in your time whilst living in Japan? Best, Taz.
Interesting question.
I feel like the only time I've ever seen something that I thought might be the Japanese military is like driving on the highway and there'll be like a military truck. But you don't really come across them anywhere, do you?
Not too far from Sendai, near Matsushima Bay, there's always jet fighters flying around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You do see lots of planes.
And down Yamaguchi near Hiroshima.
And we were filming there, I think.
Asso, maybe.
They fly them around there?
They are around and about. And the Japanese Self-Defense Force is, you know, surprisingly, by a lot of people surprised to find it's one of the best-funded militaries on Earth.
With a
considerable budget, you know, which they kind of need given all the North Korean missiles, the threat from China, the inevitable war for Taiwan in 5 years' time, which is kind of scary.
Fun times. Yeah,
they do need their Self-Defense Force. I don't know how much people sort of talk about it or reflect on it. There are certain areas, though, like Yamaguchi, where if you're near the military base, there's a lot of shops selling like T-shirts with jet fighters on.
Lots of memorabilia.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And down in sort of Kyushu, when I was down there recently, there was near some of the military bases, there's lots of shops.
Mm.
Like the prefectures that host big military bases for the Japan Self-Defense Force, they often...
Yeah, they're proud of it, right?
They are proud of it.
It's like their image.
Yeah. But yeah, you just in the north where we are, you do see a lot of trucks going up and down the highway.
Mm.
You might see the occasional jet fighter, but for the most part, it's kind of quiet. There are some really big military bases up north, like in Aomori. They've got Misawa Air Base.
Yeah, we were there recently, weren't
we?
Yeah,
quite a few American servicemen, women are up there. But yeah, for the most part, Okinawa though was absurd. I mean, that was more American presence though.
Yeah.
We were driving. That's, I remember, I went snorkeling with Joey. In a scene, I don't think they made it into the video, but we came up out of the water and then these two like F-15 jet fighters just went and it felt really cool, just splashing about in the
That's
sea
pretty cool.
with jet fighters flying overhead.
You always have the jet fighters flying over.
That's what I get.
Did that in our video, remember?
That's what we get.
The jets fly over.
When you get 2 million subscribers, you get all the jet fighters. We've got one last question from Dylan from San Francisco. It says, hello, Casino Chris and Paddington Pete. I'm due to study abroad in Tokyo early April for 4 months. How feasible is it to buy a rental bike and use that as my main mode of transportation around Tokyo? Are there any other modes of transportation tips around Tokyo that I should be aware of? Thank you, guys. All the best. Dylan from San Francisco. You've lived in Tokyo.
I haven't. I've never rented a bike. I've always bought my own bike because in Japan, the bikes are kind of different. There's like two levels of bike. There's Mamachari, which is like the cheap shit bike that everybody rides.
And it has no gears.
Yeah.
It has a basket.
Basic bike. It's not cool, but it's
hard to balance if you're not moving.
It's the most popular.
Yeah.
And then there's like your cool sporty bike that you probably don't want to pay for if you're only going to be there for 4 months. So yeah, for like Ichiman, what's that nowadays? $70 American. You can buy a Mamachari, a cheap, shitty bike that everybody rides. And yeah, use that for your trip. I would probably do that. I feel like that would be a lot easier than sorting out the rental bike for a whole 4 months. You know, you'd have to probably like re-rent it every day and it'd be a pain in the ass. Yes, buy a Mamachari from like the local bike shop. We'll have tons of them to choose from. If you get a deal, you can probably get one for like $70. They might have some used, or sorry, 7,000 yen, so like $40. Find a used one.
I mean, I don't. Is it worth getting a bike in Tokyo?
Hell yeah. It depends. It depends what area of Tokyo you're living in. You know, if you're close enough to your school or wherever you're going to go that you can walk or train, then just do that. But I love having a bike. That was like my favorite part about living in Japan when
really?
I first moved here was riding my bike around the streets. I didn't live in Tokyo, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
I was out in the rice fields. But yeah, it was just fun because there's such a bike riding culture in Japan that it's kind of cool to experience it. And just it's a bit different than other countries.
I mean, I've never ridden a bike in
Japan. No, you're missing out.
I'm just exaggerating.
Well, you've never had a Mamachari, have you?
All right, no, I've never had one of those.
Yeah, doesn't count then. That's not a real Japan bike riding experience.
I cycled 2,000 kilometers.
That is not your typical Japan bike experience.
That's not. No, it's not. those.
We need to get you a mum. Well, I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Oh, God. What are those Mama Cherry bollocks bikes?
Mama Cherry and a goat tattoo.
It's awful. The holy, holy grail of birthday presents. I do think cycling around Japan is the perfect speed and method to enjoy the country.
It's exciting. Like, it's fun.
Walking too slow. Trains, pretty cool. Mm. But bikes, yes.
Especially out a little bit out in the countryside.
It's yeah. Great. I think if I was going to live in Tokyo and get a bike, it would be an e-bike.
That is for wussies.
No, it's not.
Love it. You cycle across the entire country and then
yeah, it would have been a lot fucking easier with an e-bike
in Tokyo. Come on.
Yeah, but you know what an e-bike
use
is, right?
Calves.
No. You basically,
I know what an e-bike is.
You push the pedal and the bike throws you along nice and easy.
That is not fun.
Half the effort.
That takes all the fun out of bike riding.
It doesn't. It makes bikes
drive a car at that point.
I remember the first time I used one was in Kamakura. With the Daibutsu,
yeah,
Buddha is one of them. And you got off the train and I saw a sign for bike rental and I went in there with my friend and it was like, oh, do you want an e-bike? And I was like, oh yeah, all right. Mm. And I got on it and it was a thrill.
They're pretty speedy.
Beyond measure. It was amazing. The idea that I could like...
Thrill beyond measure.
Just like our relationship. you just tap the pedal and the bike would throw you down the road.
It's a bit scary, yeah. It's quite a lot of force in those
things. Underestimate it. Don't underestimate the power of e-bikes. I want one for my... That's what I want for my birthday. Fuck the goat tattoo. Get me an e-bike.
Don't get an e-bike, Dylan.
Mama
Cherry.
We're looking
That's
at doing another wacky weekend cycle, and I think I'm just going to get an e-bike.
I think you should do rock, paper, scissors. One of you gets a Mama Cherry, and one of you gets an e-bike.
Well, one of us is going to end up dead very fast. With a bike with no gears... And also, Mama Cherry bikes,
so shit.
They were made in like the 1950s post-war to be sort of...
Just a cheap mode of transportation.
Yeah, like ubiquitous transport for the masses. Yeah. And so there's a real sense of national pride around the Mama Cherry bike.
Everyone loves them. They're great.
That's a great idea. But the problem is, they're bikes.
Oh, wait, we haven't told them what Mama Cherry means. So Chari is a slang for bicycle, and Mama is mom. And, the mom would be the one riding it all the time.
Yes.
Picking up the groceries and stuff. So that's why it's called the Mama Chari.
But they're pretty heavy and pretty clunky.
Yeah, they're really shit.
I find them hard to cycle.
There's something really charming about them.
They're pretty hard to cycle. They don't have much balance to them.
Get a Mama Cherry.
On a carbon fiber bike across Hokkaido, the idea of going back to anything.
Nobody else in the world can afford that bloody carbon fiber bike that you rode.
Tax deductible carbon fiber bike. It was amazing.
Boring.
And it's insane. Like, you can pick it up with one finger, this carbon fiber bike. Get that.
Stop bragging. Where's this bike now? On
the original journey across Japan, I cycled on a sodding mountain bike.
It was so shit. Didn't it like break and you got several different bikes? It was a nightmare.
Ryotaro was like, oh, my friend owns a bike shop. He'll give you a bike. And I was like, great.
Scams you with like this shit bike.
I was promised a top bike at discount rates. He gave me a bike
that was crap.
A shit bike at expensive rates, but I took it anyway. And you know, it lasted 2 weeks until it broke, basically.
Yeah.
And then I had to get a new one in Hiroshima. So thanks for
it. It's a nightmare.
Should have got a road bike, given I spent the entirety of Journey Across Japan on a fucking road. Honestly. But anyway, we are off back to Japan now, guys. Not literally now, but in about 17 or 18 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to the 14-hour plane flight. I'm going to actually try and sit down and watch Tokyo Vice for the first time.
Finally.
And see Ken Watanabe unleashed on the big screen. Looking forward to it. I've heard good things. But guys, thanks so much for listening. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into the Abroad Japan Podcast at gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week with Pete Donaldson, hopefully. Actually, I hope he's back from his holiday.
Hopefully.
I'm sure he'll be back. He'll be well rested and ready for action. I'll be jet lagged to hell, but I'm looking forward to being back in Japan, and I'll let you know in a few days how the journey went. Wish us luck. But until then, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for coming, Charlotte.
You're welcome.
Get out.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.